Place your bets, you jackwagons! Brad the Big Noise Evans here on a solo mission. Tis indeed the Feed a Thigh podcast. Lonnie's gonna be back with me in the new year, but with the ball set to drop, you gotta get some bets in. NFL Week 17 ahead, the college football playoff on New Year's Day, college basketball as well. So let's go ahead and hop immediately into it. And let's first hop aboard the Honk Honk Plus bus. These are wagers available plus 100 odds or greater that I am digging in on. And let's focus on NFL Week 17 and rev the engine of Derek Carr. I think he's got a roll out a high RPM, give me the over 1.5 passing touchdowns in Tampa against the yarless Buccaneers defense, plus 120. Yeah, get seduced by that juice there at DraftKings Sportsbook. Honestly, I think it's the first time I've actually bet on Derek Carr this entire NFL season, but I like the plus money here because it's all about maximizing the matchup. You look at Tampa, number 19 in pass EPA defense since week 10. And on the season, they've allowed 21 passing touchdowns. Six quarterbacks have registered multi-TD air strikes against them. You look at Carr, he only went for 127 yards and a big fat donut in the touchdown category in week 4. But that was eons ago. The Tampa secondary is without Carlton Davis III. He is out due to concussion. And you look at Carr, he's really started to rev it up here the last couple of weeks. He's hitting the over on this in 3 consecutive games. Number 11 in red zone pass attempts, but a meager number 23 in red zone completion percentage. Still, given the undermanned secondary and really just generally lousy and beatable secondary of Tampa, and knowing how fiery those fingers have been, I say Derek Carr muscles his way for a pair of passing touchdowns. Give me that over 1.5 in Tampa at plus 120 at DraftKings. With that, bet on the board. Let's get after it with another edition of the Fade 5. All right, numero cinco here on the countdown. Let's go with the Saturday special. We got a colossal matchup in prime time in an island game. Dallas and Detroit in the Motor City are going to be in the playoffs the first time since the Barry Sanders era. Just been a remarkable season for that club, despite its difficulties defending for much of the second half of the year. But still, this offense is really piling up the points. And one player I think is going to splash 6 and add to the scoring output is a rookie, Jahmyr Gibbs. Give me him for any time touchdown there at a plus 115 juice available at BetMGM. You look at Gibbs. Guys get around 50% of the opportunity share. You know, splitting workload with mandatory Montgomery, but his role inside the red zone is starting to increase here. The last 3 games, he has found the answer not twice, not 3 times, but 4 times, believe it or not, over that span. And Montgomery is still scoring relatively frequently as well. And you look at Dallas, this is a defense that certainly had its issues, to say the least, here over the last several weeks. You look number 14 in rush EPAD since week 10. So very middling compared to what they were earlier this season. And over the last 5 games, they've allowed 4.58 yards per carry and 141.6 total yards a game to the running back position. They've also given up 5 running back touchdowns since week 10. As I mentioned, Gibbs, 13, 14, 19 total touches here the last 3 weeks. He's got those 5 TDs, 5.8 yards per touch on that workload. It's again near 50-50 split, and he's got the shimmy, he's got the shake, evidenced by his number 12 ranking in yards after contact per attempt and top 12 ranking in missed tackle percentage, forcing that swing and a miss by a defender 22.1% of the time. So make me some greenbacks, Jahmyr Gibbs. Find the end zone and I cash in at plus 115 at BetMGM. Numero Quattro here on the Fade 5 podcast. Joe Mixon is fixing to do some damage. Give me him on the over, and it's a really low number. And I'm playing this in the alt market because the standard line is a little bit lower than this. And I like the over in that alt market at 47.5 rush yards. Grab this at ESPN Bet at +110. Why am I high on Mixon? Again, it's taking advantage of the matchup. Kansas City couldn't plug a damn hole right now. Nearly impossible for them, evidenced by their number 30 ranking and rush EPA defense. Really struggling up front and some of that coverage. Since week 10, they're still near the bottom of the barrel in that rush EPA defensive category. And you look, 11 guys have gone over this number against them this season. They've given up 4.87 yards per carry, 92.9 rush yards per game on the season. Everybody's talking about the offense and its woes, especially inside the red zone, but really the defense deserves some criticism as well, and some pretty harsh words to boot. You look at Mixon, still dominating the opportunity share, though you've seen Chase Brown, the ILL, and his workload slowly starting to ramp up. But Mixon on the season, 81.5% of the opportunity share earned. He's getting 14.8 rush attempts per game. Yeah, he's number 51 in yards after contact per attempt. Barf. He's only forced a missed tackle 19.4% of the time. More upchucks there. But a guy still that, based on the volume, should be able to crank enough out on the ground. Probably another 12, 13, 14, maybe upwards of 15 touches, depending upon how the game script flows. But I'm liking him to reach at least 48. I think it's going to be north of 50. So if you want to take this up a little bit higher, reduce the juice and get even more seduced by the juice, I would certainly support that. So Joe Mixon over on the alt line of 47.5 rush yards, +110 at ESPN Bet. I'm locked and I'm loaded. Numero Tres here on the Fade 5 podcast. Let's get more plus money on the board. And let's go back to that matchup in Western Florida between the Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. A lot of playoff implications there on the line in that highly competitive but generally lousy division. And Baker, the touchdown maker, is going to live up to the nickname. Give me the over on 1.5 passing TDs against the Florida Lee, +124. Heck yeah, work the shoulders again and get seduced by that juice at FanDuel Sportsbook. Baker Mayfield, one of the hottest gunslingers in the NFL here the last several weeks, and a guy that is getting over this yet again. He has done this in 7 of his last 9 contests. And to go back to week 4, he lit up New Orleans in that game for 246. And uno, dos, tres, mi amigos, 3 passing touchdowns. Now, that was with Marshon Lattimore on the field. Of course, Marshon Lattimore has done so for the season on season-ending IR. But you look at Mayfield, number 9 in red zone pass attempts. Similar to Derek Carr, has had his struggles at times in red zone completion percentage, where he ranks number 20 in the NFL. But you look at New Orleans, middling number 18 in pass EPA defense since week 10, and they've allowed 6 quarterbacks, including Baker earlier this season, as already mentioned, to hit the over on this prop. So wheel and deal and make me some cold hard cash on the over, Baker Mayfield. 1.5 passing TDs against New Orleans, +124 at FanDuel. Numero dos here on the Feed 5 NFL Week 17 podcast. Let's go with a little SGP and get more plus money on the board. Simple two-legger. Again, you don't have to go full Calvin Ridley when you're building these things. Hey, man, bro, I got to get like a 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th leg because I want this winning bet to go viral. There's so many people that do that. And I think it really sways people and pushes them the wrong way. You can take advantage of the SGP market, but do it smartly. Do it intelligently. And I'm trying to do that here with a little two-leg action. on Jaylen Warren, 4+ receptions, and Michael Pittman, 6 or more receptions. And truth be told, this is a standard parlay, so not an SGP. Another way to attack that market, +137 available there at ESPN Bet. Let's talk about the first leg there. And Jaylen Warren, I think it's going to be hashtag requisite Warren as terms of his receiving props. If you bet this individually, it's like -140 at the various sports books. That's why I'm parlaying it with the Pittman action. But you look at Warren going against the Seattle Seahawks, who've allowed 4.8 receptions per game. Nine times. They have gone over this proposed number against them, the pass-catching running backs, and that's what Warren is. He's averaging 13.5 routes run per game. He is number 4 in the NFL in yak per attempt. He is number 4 in yards created per touch, way up there in missed tackle rate as well. He has 17 total targets the last 3 weeks combined, and over that stretch, he went 5 catches, 5 catches, and 4 catches. Mason Rudolph is a notable checkdown Charlie. Go back to starts, several years ago, he was one of the league leaders in that category, and it surfaced yet again last week. A lot of that action, of course, going to Warren, who has hit the over on this 7 times this season. I say, make it a snowman. He does it for the 8th time this year. They look at Michael Pittman, 6 or more receptions. It's all about that total vision. Yeah, a little play on double vision there. For you 70s Rock fans, but you look up Michael Pittman, a guy that's getting oodles of targets. He's averaging 10.2 per game. He is number 1, numero uno, in the NFL in total route wins. What does that mean? He gets a lot of separation from the defenders, that long, muscular frame. Certainly take advantage of gaining some of that space. He's hit the over on this in 6 of his last 7. In fact, he's gone 6 or more catches in a game 10 times this year. You look at the matchup going against Vegas, and I know they're ascending with a flaming arrow. What Pierce has done with his team, just give him the full-time gig already. Quit flirting with it. Quit dancing around the subject. Just sign him on the dotted line. It's remarkable what he has done with this Las Vegas Raiders defense in particular and the franchise overall. Vegas since week 10, number 12 in pass EPA defense. But he's going to see some Jack Jones in coverage. You might say, well, Evans, he's a lot below a 70 passer rating this season. That is true. But Jack Jones has also allowed a 65.5 catch rate to his assignments. And that likely assignment is going to be Michael Pittman most often than not. So put all together, high volume, decent matchup on paper. And the recent track record of his success in this category says he's going to grab at least 6 balls off the hand of Gardner Minshew. So to recap on this two-leg parlay, Jaylen Warren, 4 or more receptions. Michael Pittman, 6 or more receptions, +137. Let's get it at ESPN Bet. Numero uno, my top play of NFL Week 17 in the sports betting market is an SGP, and it's available at Plus Money. Wrote about this on the X, where I'm always trying to give it to you there, at Noisy Huevos. So if you want all the gory details in the written word, you can check that out on my feed. But I'm going to give it to you right now. Give me Matthew Stafford, leg numero uno. 225 plus pass yards, and let's correlate, synergize, and bring it all together. I think if he's going to be airborne with a lot of success, he's got to find the end zone at least a couple of times. 2 or more passing touchdowns. You put those two legs together against the Giants, you're looking at +100. Please and thank you at BetMGM. You look at Stafford. He has done this in 5 straight games. He's hotter than the Pop-Tarts mascot right now on social media. It's ridiculous what he has done with that hot hand and really delivering some pinpoint precise strikes for 6. And I think it's going to continue. He is a guy, number 4 on the season in total red zone attempts. He is top 10 as well in deep ball completion percentage. Now similar to Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield. At times, he has been a passenger on the struggle bus inside the red zone, evidenced by his number 26 ranking and red zone completion percentage. But it could be a long air strike to Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, DeMarcus Robinson's really turned it up here of late. Tyler Higbee has had his moments. Kyren Williams is a guy he checks down too often, especially inside the red zone. Tons of weapons at his disposal with the genius of Sean McVay backing him. The Svelte Stafford is taking advantage and having a renaissance this season in the City of Angels. Look at the Giants. They played at a respectable level here down the home stretch. But since week 10, if you peel back the layers of the onion, just number 22 in pass EPA. Defense giving up 7.12 pass yards per attempt on the season, 242.4 pass yards per game, and 19 passing touchdowns overall. So again, continue to ride that hot hand. My top play of week 17 on the SGP, Matthew Stafford, 225 plus pass yards, and Matthew Stafford, two or more passing touchdowns against the G-Men, plus 100 at BetMGM. But wait, of course, there's more. It's bonus time. I got to get some additional action and give you some leans in the college football playoff as well. Let's get the team Huevos parlay play of NFL Week 17 on the board. And let's go to what should be a very lopsided affair in the nation's capital. The depressing Commanders taking on the Gold Panthers of San Francisco. So on this SGP, come with me. If you are buying what I am selling, leg numero uno, give me the Niners straight up on the money line. I should do that with relative ease. Do I have to give any evidence? I mean, Washington, truly the dregs of the keg right now. Ron Rivera has already got one foot out the door. As soon as the season wraps, he's probably going to get the axe. So I think San Francisco is going to right the ship. Brock Purdy coming off that panting that we all witnessed last week. I think it's going to have a glorious game because Washington, they can't ground any passing attack. So give me the Niners straight up there on the money line. Leg numero dos. Correlate Center Jazz bring it all together. I think the Niners are going to really pile up the points in this one, which means extra point opportunities galore for Jake Moody of Michigan. I'm going to have a pick on that a little bit later. Three or more PATs I need him to hit in this game. He has done that in six of his last seven. Washington has allowed opposing kickers to do this in four of their last five games. Leg numero tres. Give me CMC for any time touchdown. Again, do you really need any evidence for that? He has done this, I believe, in all but two games this year. Washington, 4.40 yards per carry, 98.1 rush yards per game they have allowed to the running back position. He can actually double up this number, quite honestly. So give me CMC for any time touchdown. Give me CMC as well for 77 or more rush yards, which he has done in four of his last five games. Washington's allowed this eight times this year to opposing plowshares. And then leg numero cinco, because Quattro was CMC, 77 or more rush yards. Give me Brock, ain't he so pretty? Two or more passing touchdowns. Again, coming off that deflating effort, I think he gets back on the right side of the ledger in this one. Washington's allowed eight passers to do this season. Purdy has done this a multitude of number of times this year. In fact, he's done it eight times. Excuse me. Washington's allowed 11 passers, even better, to do this year. Also ranks dead last, number 32, in pass EPAD on the season. So to recap on this SGP, San Francisco money line, Jake Moody, three or more PATs, CMC anytime touchdown, CMC 77 or more rush yards, and Brock Purdy two or more passing touchdowns. A cool plus 222. Hails to the yes at ESPN Bet. All right, elsewhere and bonus time. I like Rashid Shaheed. I played the line on the over 30 and a half receiving yards in his matchup against those Buccaneers. Probably get a lot of Christian Eichen in coverage. He's a lot of 78.6 catch rate and 102.6 pass rate in his assignments. I look at Shaheed, number 9 in ADOT on the year, number 15 in total deep ball targets. I think he gets at least 31 receiving yards. And that line has climbed at your favorite sports book. I may play that up to like 39 and a half. And the alt market, they get it at plus money. Could be a standout effort for Shaheed there in Tampa. Lamar Action Jackson, give me the over 53 and a half rush yards and a monstrous matchup against the Miami Dolphins. With a win, Lamar and friends could sew up the number one seed in the AFC, and they're looking like the team that's going to represent that conference and the Super Bowl. Look at Miami, number three in pocket pressure rate at 27.5%. That is a formula that does not really play well to this matchup because of the opportunistic legs of Lamar Jackson. He can read, react, tuck, and run. He's turned more into a pocket passer this season, but will still eat up some yardage on the ground but given those opportunities. Miami's only allowing 13.6 rush yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. Yes, Miami's number three in rush EPA defense, and no quarterback has run for more than 30 yards against them. But again, I think that story's going to change. Jackson has done this 8 times this year, is averaging 9.6 rush attempts per game and 52.9 rush yards per game, second among all quarterbacks in the league. So give me the over on that 53 and a half rush yards. Speaking of running quarterbacks, give me Justin Fields for any time touchdown. And I grabbed that at plus 190 against the ATL, the Atlanta Falcons here. Yeah, Atlanta, number four in rush EPAD. But similar to Miami, they really dial up the heat on the opposing pocket, number 13 in pocket pressure rate. They're giving up 20.6 rush yards per game to signal callers, but you know, feels like Jackson, he's averaging 9.5 attempts per game, and he is number one and rush yards per game at 53.2. So, you know, little read option near the goal line. I think he's gonna call his own number and take one in for six. So getting that at high plus 100 number odds. Yeah, I'll take that all diggity day long. I'm gonna take the under, however, on James Cook. 67.5 rush yards against the New England Patriots. Why? New England just really bottles up and contains a run better than anybody in the NFL. Number one in rush EPA defense. They're going up just 3.27 yards per carry, 69.3 rush yards per game. Only four RBs have gone over 67.5 rush yards in a game against them. Yes, I know Cook has been electric, white hot here of late, but he has at the under of this, and three of his last four. Number 15 in yards created on the season, but just number 32 in yards after contact per attempt as tracked by Pro Football Focus. So in a game that could be, again, lopsided, maybe they don't run as much late in that contest. Maybe get some more later. Fournette, Latavius Murray. As a result, give me the under. James Cook, 67.5 rush yards in that matchup. And last play for me, give me the over on juggernaut Javonte Williams. Let's ride. Yeah, Russell's straight out of town on a one-way ticket for you, my friend, as Jared Stidham is going to be at the controls of Denver Broncos in a very friendly matchup against the LA Chargers. And that's why I like the over on the 58.5 rush yards prop for juggernaut Javonte. Digging in deeper, the Chargers, number 29 in rush EPA defense since week 10. They're giving up 4.10 yards per carry, 90.7 rush yards per game on the season, opposing plowshares. 8 RBs have hit the over on this. And you look at juggernaut Javonte, he's got to be probably good for around 13 to 17 rush attempts in this game, which is generally where he's been in 6 straight games. Yeah, he's only number 40 in the yak per attempt. Yeah, he's only forcing a missed tackle 17.1% of the time. But that duality of Stidham does help him. And the matchup is just so juicy that I'm going to drink every last drop. So give me that over 58.5 rush yards for Javonte Williams. If you're in your fantasy title game, somebody worth debating there at RB2 or the flex position in 12-team. Or deeper leagues. All right, let's talk quickly about the college football playoff. And look, this college bowl season has been a shit show. It really has been, to say the least. Wildly unpredictable transfers, opt-outs, just general ineptitude. It's been wild. It's been woolly. It's been downright wacky. Really, the highlight of the entire bowl season, I mentioned it, is the Pop-Tart mascot. She got his moneymaker, getting toasted and getting eaten at the end of the game, which was just a highlight for yours truly, and a brilliant marketing campaign put on by the Pop-Tarts team. But outside of that, we know everything's going to be online for a national title there in the college football playoff. And thank God this is the last year for four teams, because those are ridiculous, all the controversy stirred about with the selections in this. But let's hear it on the matchups. It's long in the past. I like Michigan. I will lay the point and a half. I know everybody is harping on, you know, Michigan was sitting in that banquet room and they saw the pairings come out and the reaction was rather sullen, like, oh crap, we got to play Alabama? That was unexpected. You know, so everybody harps on that. Everybody harps on the success of Nick Saban. It's the Crimson Tide. Roll Tide, right, Evans? No, man, I like Michigan. And I will lay the point and a half here. You look at the advanced data, and it paints a very strict dichotomy between these two teams. Michigan, number 5 in EPA total offense, number 6 in EPA total defense. Where does Alabama rank in those categories? 50 in offense and 47 in defense. Offensively, the quarterback play has been wildly erratic and unpredictable for the Crimson Tide this season. I know Michigan at times is unimpressed the general masses, but Blake Corum is arguably one of the best running backs in the game. McCarthy does a really good job there under center. The defense is all about the defense. They attack you, they suffocate you, and they squash you. I think this game is going to be nip and tuck, but in the end, Harbaugh and company get the dub and advance on the national title game. I will lay the point and a half. Give me the Wolverines by 3. And meanwhile, who are they going to play? Is it going to be the Huskies of Washington or Hook'em Horns of Texas? It's going to be close, but I like Washington plus the 3.5 in this one. I'm going to side with Michael Penix Jr., a guy that was a front runner at one time for the Heisman Trophy. Of course, he didn't win that award, went to Daniels, but he is one of the ultimate scoring duelists. Get it done with the legs, get it done with the arm, and he's got a howitzer for a gun. He's got fantastic wide receivers. I worry about Washington defensively. You look at their offense, number 8 in the nation, EPA per play offense, but number 55, that's an EPA per play defense. But Texas, kind of inconsistent offensively for much of this year. They got talent on both sides of the ball, and I think more talent defensively, and that's why they're number 13 in EPA defense on the season, but number 40 in EPA offense. I think 3.5. I think, yar, shiver me timbers. Captain Hook is going to come into play in this one. The Longhorns may win this sucker, but it could be on a boot at the end with time expiring, and that's still a winner for Washington, or the Huskies may take this straight up. So I feel most comfortable playing Washington plus the 3.5. May sprinkle a little bit there on the money line, but I do love the Wolverines minus 1.5 in that other matchup. So there you have it. Happy New Year's to you and yours. Make it a safe one, please. And make sure I have plenty of Gatorade for the next day so you can hydrate and shake off that hangover. Hopefully going to win your fantasy titles. Hopefully going to cash in as well in the sports betting markets. Whether you're attacking the NFL, college football, or college basketball. And guess what, folks? If you love college hoops, you can always find me in those picks on the X, where I'm always giving it to you for free, always transparent. That's how I roll at Noisy Huevos. St. Lundy does the same thing, especially with hockey, where he kills it in general in that sport, at Nate Lundy. And drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this podcast. Our schedule is going to change up a little bit now that the NFL regular season is close to ending, coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And then we, of course, have no Monday show. That's why I'm giving you those college football playoff shows through the holidays. So enjoy it. Rest up. Lundy and I are going to be back likely later in the week, maybe on Thursday, maybe earlier in the week if it's a really good college basketball slate, because conference season is getting underway. But enjoy it, and call me. Maybe I'll pop out of the cape and be Baby New Year for you. Until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you. Happy